Well, let's take a look as we open this lesson today. Let's start actually with Genesis chapter 1. And I want us to look here because we can see here that God actually, he created, as it said here, in the heavens and the earth. And what did he do? He said, in the fullness thereof, he created the sun and the moon and the seas or the water. He called it the seas and all of the fish and the animal and the life and so forth that was there. And he did what? He spoke those into existence. But let's start reading here in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And it says, and God said, let us make man in what? Our image. And what does it say? After our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. So here, God made man to have dominion. And so we can go on in verse 27, and it said, he created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them. And what did he say? He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and what? Have dominion. So God designed man or created man with a purpose here. He was going to, he gave him dominion over what? All the earth. That's what he said in verse 26. He said, over all the earth, you're going to have dominion. And so here we see that man was given the lordship, or you could say he was the God of this earth. And so we know that further on that Adam was given some instructions. And also you can see here that Adam was made in what? He was made in the image and likeness of God. How did God create things? He spoke them into existence. And so when he said, after our image and likeness, how was Adam supposed to do things? Speak them into existence, just like God. So he made him to have dominion, and he made him to be just like God in the sense of speaking and speaking things into existence. How do you think Adam, in chapter 2 and verse 20, he named all the animals? How did he do that? He spoke it. And so he spoke things just like God. But now God gave Adam some instructions. He told him not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? And we know that he was deceived. Eve wasn't, but Adam was. He was deceived. That's what 1 Timothy 2 and verse 14, it says he was deceived, but Eve was not. And so here, he lost his lordship. And what does it say in 2 Corinthians 4:4? It says that Satan became the god of this world. So when Adam sinned, he lost that role of being God over the earth. And what happened? Satan became the god of this earth. Or it says Satan became the god of this world. But actually, let's take a look here at what God's plan was. God's plan was what? After Adam fell, he put a plan in motion to do what? Redeem mankind. And so we're so thankful for that. Romans, it talks about that God sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And what? To condemn sin or enforce sin, he condemned or judged sin in the flesh. And we know from other scriptures that his purpose, the Son of God, was manifested so that he might what? Destroy the works of the devil. And so we can see here that Jesus, when he came, he did what? He spoiled principalities and powers, triumphing over them in the cross. So we can see that that plan was consummated in Jesus, and it was never touched or affected by the devil. It couldn't have been. And so that was the brilliance of God's plan. It was kept from the devil. He didn't know what was going on. And so we can see here that in Christ, we have a new identity. And this identity, and we can see from Scripture that this restoration happened through Christ, where Christ redeemed us and did what? He brought us back to a place where we could reach God, we could approach God, a holy God. But here in Romans chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which do what? Receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall do what? Reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So we can see in the scriptures here that when we receive Jesus, how do we receive him? We believe that he is the Christ and that he was raised from the dead. We believe that, and we confess with our mouth what we believe, and it says you shall be saved. And so once we receive Christ, we have a new identity. Galatians 2:20. It says, I am what? I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but what? Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who did what? Who loved me and gave himself for me. So I have a new identity. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And so this new person, how are we supposed to conduct ourselves? He said, I give you, just like he gave some instructions to Adam. He gave us some instructions as new creatures in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, any man that's in Christ is a brand new creature, a brand new type of being. So God gave us some instructions on how we were to conduct ourselves. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you what? You love one another. And what does it say? As I have loved you, you also shall love one another. And it says here, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. So this in the scriptures tells us that we have a brand new identity. We have a brand new a being. We have a new nature. And so for us, it says in the scriptures that if we've been born of God, it says that whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And what this is the victory that overcometh the world. What overcomes the world? Even our faith. And 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says we're what? We're to walk by faith and not by sight. So the scriptures are very clear that we have a brand new nature and we have a brand new being. But as we go through life, Jesus said that we're going to have some opposition. And this opposition, he said, be of good cheer, or be of good courage. He said, in the world, he said, you're going to have some tribulation. You're going to have some opposition, some pressure. He said, but be of good cheer. That word cheer means courage. He said, be of good courage. I have overcome the world. And so this is good news, because when we as new creatures, it's no longer I that liveth, but it's the greater one in me that overcame. So he overcame, I can overcome. How am I going to overcome? By faith, That's just the same way that God designed or expected Adam to operate by faith. He was to operate in faith to do what? Confront the deception that came and to command it out of the garden. And so God is expecting us as new creatures, we're to do what? We're to confront those things that oppose, and we're to do what? To confront it and to command it to leave. And so here, let me just get here. We're having a little interesting, trying to see my notes here. So we're going to have to go by our heart here in a moment. But God has given us some tools to operate. He's given us some tools to operate the love of God. He's given us given us faith to operate in. And so this new identity that we have, he said here in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 that it's faith comes by how? Through hearing and hearing the word of God. So the scriptures are clear that we can operate in faith by hearing the word of God. Now I want us to get over into the subject of today, just kind of a little warm up here and give us an idea of who we've become in Christ. But Ephesians chapter 1 in the New Living Translation, verses 22 and 23, in the New Living, it talks about what Jesus has done. And in Ephesians chapter 1, it says, God hath put all things under the authority of Christ, and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. Hallelujah. And verse 23, and the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. So here, the authority that Christ has was for who? The benefit of the church. And so here, that means to me that we've been given some authority, which is what God had done originally in Adam. And so that authority has been restored to the body. And so this warfare, or you could say the opposition that we face, we are to do what? It says here that our warfare, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So God has designed some weapons that we can use here in the earth that give us, an advantage, a spiritual advantage. Brother Hagin used to say it this way. He said, as long as you keep the devil over in the spiritual realm, over in the realm of faith, you'll whip him every time. Don't try to operate in the natural. Use these weapons, these spiritual weapons that God has given us. They're mighty, and they can pull down strongholds. And what I wanted to look at today is looking at the keys or the authority that we have and look at it in light of faith and look at it in light of this heart and mouth connection. And if we could look at the Amplified of Matthew 16 and verse 19, this is a interesting, an enlightening and exciting scripture. And this particular scripture it talks about here some keys that we've been given, and Jesus is speaking here, and he's revealing some truth. And it says here in verse 19, and who is he speaking to? He's speaking to Peter. And Jesus asked him, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And now here, Jesus began to say to him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And then he picks up, he goes on to speak to Peter. But in verse 19, this is what he said. He said in the Amplified, and I will give you, he's talking to Peter now here, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, must be what is already bound in heaven. And whatever you loose or declare lawful on earth must be what is already loosed in heaven. Now, the Passion Translation says something similar, but I want to read, I have a purpose for reading this here. The Passion Translation, in verse 19, it says, I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven, and to release on earth that which is released in heaven. Now, the footnotes in the Passion Translation, it says keys, when Jesus says, I will give you the keys, keys are symbols of authority and ruling power. So Jesus is saying, I'm giving you some keys here. I'm giving you authority, Peter, to rule here. And so when we see this, he's conveying to Peter, I'm giving you some authority. Now, when he says here that you're to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven and to release on earth that which is released in heaven, a footnote in the Passion Translation says this, that which you forbid on earth must be that which is already forbidden in heaven. And that which you permit on earth must be that which is already permitted in heaven. Oh, that is so good. What are things that are forbidden in heaven? Well, we know fear is. Fear is forbidden in heaven. Sickness is forbidden in heaven. Disease is forbidden in heaven. Worry is forbidden in heaven. Hatred, anger, unrighteousness. So those are the kind of things. So what does the scripture say? That which is forbidden on earth must be that which is already forbidden in heaven. So I can forbid fear. I've been given the keys, the authority to forbid that which is forbidden in heaven. How do I do that? I have to believe that, believe what Jesus said, and I have to do what? Speak it with my mouth, confess it with my mouth. Because if I'm forbidding something, I'm not doing it with my thinking. I'm doing it, God, when he said, I created man, and he said, we created man in our image and likeness. We were designed to speak. We're a spirit. And some have said we're a speaking spirit. So we're designed or created to speak. And so here we are given authority from the head of the church. It's for the benefit of the church. All things have been placed under Jesus' subjection, and he did that for the benefit of the church. And here, Jesus is giving these keys to the church to forbid those things which are already forbidden in heaven. And to do what? To loose or allow or permit those things which are already permitted in heaven. What are the things that are allowed or permitted in heaven? Love, faith, peace, joy, righteousness. So how are we supposed to walk? By faith. So here, we're to speak and forbid those things that are forbidden in heaven. So if there's worry in your life, if there's fear, what are you supposed to do? Speak to it. Forbid it. How do you do that? He said right here, forbid those things. So you begin to speak. I forbid sickness in my body. I forbid fear in my body, in my thinking. I forbid worry in my thinking. And you say, it's forbidden in heaven. I forbid it in the name of Jesus. I allow faith and peace and joy. How do we do that? We walk by faith and not by sight. Now let's take a look at Matthew 18, which says similarly, Matthew 18 and 18 in the Amplified. It says, truly, I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. Saying the same thing. This is Jesus speaking. And whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. What's permitted? My salvation. How did I receive salvation? You had to do what? You had to believe that in your heart. You had to believe that Jesus was the Christ. You had to believe he was raised from the dead. And then you had to do what? Speak that, confess that. And it says, unto your salvation. Well, that word salvation is the word prosperity. It means preservation. It means wholeness. It means healing. And it also means to be saved. So here, we're to do what? Declare those things that have already been declared in heaven. John, 3 John says, I wish above all things that you may what? You may prosper in spirit and soul and body. So even as your, he said, you prosper even as your soul prospers. So we can begin to declare, and we would be scriptural in saying that we decree that I'm prosperous. Everything I set my hands to prospers. Everything is blessed that I touch. I'm blessed coming in, and I'm blessed going out. That's not just a nice saying. I'm decreeing and declaring something on earth that's already been decreed and declared in heaven and allowed in heaven. So what do I want to do? These weapons that we have, these keys of authority, you could say is a weapon, that I can use to confront opposition that comes in our life. So things that would oppose you. And, you know, if you say, well, you know, you don't know what I've done. Well, then repent. Because the blood of Jesus will cleanse you of unrighteousness. And so now you stand righteous. Same principle. I decree and I forbid unrighteousness in my life. I decree that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I've confessed my sin. He is faithful and just to forgive me. So now I stand righteous. I don't go by how I feel. I go based on the word of God. And so here, what did Jesus... Let's take a look. When we talk about faith and operating in faith, let's take a look at Mark 11. Because here, when we talk about forbidding those things in the earth that are already forbidden in heaven, and allowing those things on this earth, things that are already allowed in heaven, Mark 11, 22 through 24 comes to mind. And here, Jesus gives us a picture. He speaks to us here in the scriptures and tells us exactly what faith is. So if we're to operate in faith, then it'd be good to know what faith is. So here Jesus, again, speaking to Peter and those that were with him. What did he say? He's speaking to Peter because Peter called into remembrance, "Master, look at the fig tree that you cursed." And verse 22, he says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God." Or some translations, or my margin also says, have the faith of God. Some say, have the God kind of faith. Now, verse 23, here's what we just got done talking about, forbidding something. What's forbidden? A mountain, opposition. What is it doing here? He's saying, what is Jesus saying? For verily, I say unto you that whosoever shall say or forbid this mountain, what is it saying here? Say unto this mountain, forbid this mountain, this opposition. What are you saying? Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So here we can see that Jesus is giving us a picture again, a snapshot of showing us what faith is. We just got done seeing Matthew 16 and 19 and Matthew 18, 18. He said, those things that you forbid on earth are things that are already forbidden in heaven. And those things that you permit or allow are things that are already permitted or allowed in heaven. So here he's saying faith speaks to opposition and mountains, commands them to do what? Be thou removed. This is just exactly what we were talking about, forbidding something. And be cast into the sea, and do what? Doubt not in your heart, but what? Believe that those things that you say shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So here, if the heart and the mouth stay in agreement, whatever is allowed in heaven, and you keep your heart believing in that which is allowed in heaven, and you speak it, and you speak those things that you believe, you will see it come to pass. As they say, definitely, for sure. So if you're in faith or acting in faith, you're expecting something. Faith without action doesn't expect anything. So faith is not just believing, but it's decreeing. It's speaking that which it believes. And so this is where we need to have the heart and the mouth connected and not disconnected, or speaking something different than what you believe. You may start off in faith. And when I say start off in faith, start off believing something. And you may be saying what you believe. You know, your words are really containers of what you believe. Your words are spiritual. They come from where? They come from the heart. What you think on, what does it say? It says, as a man thinketh, so is he. And so, if you think on something long enough, that's why in Romans 12:2, we're to have our minds transformed so that we can do what? We can begin to think like God. We can begin to think like him. We keep meditating upon that, and we keep thinking on the word of God. We begin to do what? As Joshua 1:8 says, as we observe to do it, we'll make our way prosperous. We'll begin to think like him. We'll begin to talk like him. And we'll begin to make our way prosperous. So when our heart and mouth are in agreement, you control your destiny or the direction in your life. And that direction or destiny should be what God desires in your life. And if you keep that in your heart and your mouth, then you'll see it. You'll see it through. So in other words, the heart and mouth that are in agreement are expecting something that we've decreed in faith. So faith begins to take hold of something. So when we take a look at 2 Corinthians 4:13, 2 Corinthians 4:13, it begins to say that which we having the same spirit of faith, it says here, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. So God has reestablished through our being born again. We've reestablished, or we have now, you could say we have a blood covenant with God. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And so this new relationship, this covenant, has brought us into a place of authority and dominion. It's reestablished. Jesus was referred to in 1 Timothy as the last Adam. And so through this restoration, through this righteousness that we've received, we've been given dominion and authority that we are to operate in this earth at the direction of God's word and his spirit to do what? Establish the kingdom of God here. That's exactly what Mark 16 is our great commission. And Matthew 16 and starting in verse 15, just before Jesus ascended into heaven. In verse 15, he's speaking to his disciples, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This is what we're called to do, is we're to take this authority, this dominion that we have, and we're to do what? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to who? Every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that do what? Believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So we've been given a responsibility, an assignment here in this earth to go into all the world and to what? Be a light, be a witness. But also God has given us some keys to operate in authority. And these keys have to be exercised when we're decreeing. God has caused us or placed us in a position to do what? Decree some things. And so if you don't like what you see, then we've been put in a position to do something about it. We're to do what? Pray about it. We're to ask God for direction. And he's given us some a position. We're seated in heavenly places with Christ. We have a place of authority, and we're to operate in authority using the keys or this authority, the keys, or meaning authority or ruling power. And we're to do what? Speak and decree some things here in the earth. I think the church, when we come together in unity, and the church collectively begins to speak and decree some things, we're going to see some change. In this area that we live in New York, if we don't like what we see, we're to get up and to take this authority that we have in the name of Jesus and forbid these things that we see that are doing what? Coming to steal and to kill and to destroy. And so we know that Jesus said, the thief comes but to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. If we don't like what we see in an area that we live, we're not to whine about it. Whining is not faith. Faith believes and expects something to change. Why? Because we're an authority. Me as an individual, us collectively have authority. When we come together in agreement and we begin to pray, we release our words in authority and we can expect something to change. And so I would just encourage, go back and feed upon these messages and scriptures and look up these particular translations, because sometimes when you read it in the King James, it leaves some of the intent or the strength of that scripture. You kind of lose it, and you have to look sometimes in some other translations. But just reading it in chapter 16 and verse 19 of Matthew, this is saying here, it's when it says, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Well, that sounds like that's doesn't sound right. It sounds like whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven or forbidden in heaven. No, it has to already be forbidden in heaven. And when I've got heaven's backing. So to me, this is a more accurate scripture translation, the Amplified and the Passion Translation. But I would ask that we come together today after, you know, listening to these scriptures. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. The word is the power of God. So when we speak, that's why it's so important that we get the word of God down into our hearts and that we get our minds renewed, because when we begin to believe what we speak, power is released. Power is in the word of God. And so it is infused, impregnated with faith and power. And so for us, when we begin to speak the word of God, power is released. And so let's join our hearts today. And watching from different areas of the country, of the United States. Some might be watching from outside the United States. But let's begin to believe for the respective areas that we're in. And let's agree today that which has been affecting every part of this world, because this pandemic that has been unleashed from the pits of hell has affected not only just the United States, but it's affected the entire earth and the globe and other countries. So let's join our hearts and begin to take that authority. This isn't about how we feel. This is about who we are. We are the body of Christ. We have been given authority, the keys to forbid that which is forbidden in heaven, and to permit or allow that which has already been permitted or allowed in heaven. So let's pray. Father God, we take this authority. We receive this authority. We take it today. And we, from our respective areas, we join together from various areas of this United States and different parts of the world. We join our hearts together and we believe that you've given us authority to forbid that which has already been forbidden in heaven. And so Jesus said that we could bind or forbid that. So we forbid this coronavirus to continue. We command it to die and cease to exist in this earth in the name of Jesus. And we release peace. We release we release prosperity in this earth. And that which the devil has meant to hurt and harm and to kill, we bind it and forbid it. We command the spirit of death to cease in the name of Jesus. We forbid you to continue in Jesus' name to kill people through this virus. And we command it to cease in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, these things bring to mind, you know, sometimes people live in different areas of the country where they have hurricanes and they have tornadoes and different things. We need to wake up, and I know many are already doing this, but if you're not doing it, you need to rise up and forbid. What did Jesus do? He spoke to the elements. He spoke to the wind. He spoke to them. He spoke to the storms. And he commanded them to do what? Cease. And so he was showing us how to operate here in this earth. We need to take this authority and begin to speak to those things that come to steal and to destroy our lives, our economic livelihoods, our families, our children, our husbands and wives, and whatever comes to destroy. You rise up and you begin to speak to it because you've been given the keys of the kingdom of God, but you've got to believe that and you've got to speak it and release it and do what? Expect change. Expect something to happen when you speak. Praise God. Well, we're going to continue again on Wednesday and I believe continue on this because there's so much that needs to be shared along this line. I know just in referencing teaching in this area, one of the times that Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin when he was alive, Jesus spoke to him when he was meditating. Well, actually, it wasn't when he appeared. He spoke to him when he was meditating on Mark 11, 22 through 24. And as he was meditating on that scripture, the Lord spoke to him and said, you notice there's only the word believe once and the word say three times in those verses. And Brother Hagin said, no, I never saw that before. And he began to further show him, he spoke to him and said, my church has been taught to believe. They don't have a problem with believing. Where they have a problem is in their saying. So he said to him personally, you will have to teach three times as much on the subject of saying than believing. And I think that for all of us, we need to have our minds renewed and continue to speak what we believe. Don't become separated from what you believe. Don't start and then become disconnected and start saying something else. When we hear someone say, Brother Hagin would say, keep the switch of faith turned on, what does that mean? That means keep saying what you believe. That's exactly what that means. Keep that switch active, meaning I have this. I'm going to do this. I am healed. I am prosperous. It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ who lives in me. When the scripture says, who took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses, and by his stripes I've been healed, regardless of how I feel, I need to continue to speak that and expect to see change in my body, whether it's sickness, whether it's finances. I need to keep that confession connected with my belief. Praise God. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you that you are working in our hearts. You are revealing and showing to each one of us individually where correction in our speech needs to be made, where we need to make corrections. And if not, just keep watering, keep doing what we're doing. And we thank you, Father, for your word, for it is the power of God. And it comes to bring faith and to come, and it comes to change that which we release in faith. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise God. Before we just like to give an opportunity for those who may be watching to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. And we don't like to conclude any service, whether it's online or whether it's in person. We never like to leave without giving those that may desire to receive Jesus. You may have believed that Jesus is the Christ. You may believe that. You may have even believed that he was raised from the dead, but you've never confessed what you believed. And so let's just take that opportunity now and just make this simple confession. Father God, I believe that you sent your Son here to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. And we thank you that Jesus took my sins and he took them to hell. And when sin was paid for, he was raised from the dead. And so I believe that Jesus is the Christ. He took my sins and that he was raised from the dead. I receive him now as my Savior. Make something new of me. Cleanse my heart, O God. And I believe now that I am saved. If you said that simple prayer, you believed in your heart and you confessed with your mouth, as the scripture says, you shall be saved. And so we just rejoice for with those who may have received Christ as your Savior. And we rejoice with you along with the angels. Amen. Well, I'm going to take this opportunity to receive our offering. And also, they're just putting up on the screen, if you accepted Christ and you want to notify us, you can contact us by email. You can send that to rlcc@redeeminglovecc.org, or you can send it by mail, or you can call us at 845-623-9300 and let us know you became a brand new creature, you just accepted Jesus, and we'll send out some information to you as to who you've become in Christ. Hallelujah.